Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 20th, 2015. And with me today, I have Adam Christensen. How's it going, Adam?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And it's nice to have you on the show. It's also nice to have John Martellaro on the show. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Yes, it is nice to have you on the show. Yeah. I could sit here and do all kinds of banter, but instead, I'm just going to jump right into the first thing that I really want to talk about. And this is Adobe Flash. And for some people, hearing me talk about Flash, they'll be like, oh, geez, it's a broken record.
Yep.
Yeah. And in many ways, yeah, it is. But the thing is, it came back up for me again today because Amazon has changed the requirements that they have for ads that run through Amazon and through the Amazon affiliate programs. So the different ads that people make can no longer be Flash-based.
Yay!
Yes.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay.
You know, there's coffin lids, and then there's nails in the coffin, and then there's finally brushing the dirt over the coffin. I think we're in phase three, brushing the dirt over the coffin.
Yeah, well, in some ways we are, but in other ways, there's actually people jumping into the grave and trying to brush that dirt off the coffin.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Still, which is crazy.
I just think there's no one is really, there's going to be very few people that are lamenting the loss of Flash ads.
No, and well, and for me, when I hit sites that have Flash ads, I don't even know, other than there's a big blank space on the page.
Right.
Because I don't have Flash installed on any of my computers anymore.
Neither do I. Not for the last 18 months.
Yeah. Oh, wow. John, you're late to the party.
Yeah, you're late to the party.
I have used, you know, Chrome as my sole source for, you know, when I do come across something Flash that I actually want to see and need to see. You know, I use Chrome and the little developer menu trick in Safari.
Yeah.
But when you install Chrome, you install that software updater process in the background, which I'm going to write about soon.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking forward to reading the piece, especially since you've talked about it with me.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, so I need to read that piece.
Yeah, just installing the Chrome automatically installs an updater software that constantly communicates with Google in the background to check and see if there's updates to things like Google Earth or Chrome or Google Hangouts or whatever. A bunch of software is installed just by the act of installing Chrome, though it's not in isolation.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, it doesn't matter if you go into the Google apps you've installed and say, don't check for automatic updates. It does anyhow, which is just a hoot. But actually, I believe it's Google Chrome that was the straw that broke this figurative camel's back for Amazon, because one of the changes to Google Chrome is that it stopped playing what it sees as non-essential Flash content. And so what that means is that if it's not necessary for the interface to work, it's going to be blocked. And that means if you have a Flash ad, it's just simply not going to play, even in Google Chrome.
Yeah. And that's not good if you're trying to make ad revenue.
No, it's not. Yeah, the way I described this in my piece was, and I'm quoting myself because I can. This is something I learned from Brian. He enjoys quoting himself. Advertisers using Flash today is like booking a ticket on the Titanic after it hit the iceberg.
Nice. Nice. Oh. Well, you know, we've been fooling ourselves all along. These updaters give you the latest version of Flash. And it's small comfort knowing that you have the latest version, because the latest version always ends up having some critical flaw that has to be updated by the next latest version that comes down the road. So keeping your Flash up to date is a bankrupt policy. Like, well, there's just buying that ticket.
And there's so many other, I mean, we could go on and on, and I don't want to do that to the listeners, but, you know, it's come time for Flash to, you know, ride off into the sunset, and it can't happen faster enough for
it's,
me.
I think it's past that time. When Adobe conceded that Flash was not the be-all end-all for the internet anymore, I mean, that was as good as pushing Flash into the grave.
Right. And to be fair, I mean, for its time, it was a great tool. It's just, it's out, you know, technology has advanced beyond, it's at the point now where we really just don't need it to do the things that it was developed to do. And, and because of all the other issues and baggage that comes along with it, you know, it's never going to live up to the newer technologies that we have that can accomplish the same tasks.
Right. And it was never intended when it was created to be doing the things it does today.
No, it's not nowhere close. It was originally like a vector animation thing.
Right.
When it was like Splash Wave or
what was it? Funny. So long ago, the Macromedia Flash thing.
Macromedia Flash.
Yeah, but it was Shockwave.
Shockwave, that's it.
Which is still around as well. But you know, if you look at Acrobat, it was never intended for the way it's being used today either.
Right.
The big difference is it's not a giant gaping security hole in our computers in the way that Flash is. So I think Acrobat has scaled and PDF has scaled much more gracefully than Flash did or could. So it's time for Flash to go.
Sorry, I was referring. Why I was going farther back in history than Macromedia. Flash was originally a product. I remember the first time I saw it because I saw it at a printing trade show, and it was from a company called Future Wave, and it was called Future Splash. Which is what I was talking about, or Splash Wave rather.
Yeah.
Future Splash. I think I called it Splash Wave, so I was mixing the name of the company with the name of the product. But it was a frame by frame animating thing for like vector art. And there was a plug-in that you'd have to install to actually get it to play in your browser. It was back when everything required a plug-in.
I totally forgot about that. But as soon as you said it, man, that takes me way back.
So it was originally a vector animating tool for the web. And then, you know, come all the way to the future, and it's basically a video player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a video player with a big wide open door into your computer for everyone.
Jeff, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So you have worked with a lot with Adobe in the past. So how do you think the politics are going to go? Is Adobe going to just let it die, or are they going to announce an end of updates? How do you think they'll deal with the situation?
They've already started dealing with the situation. Yeah. And part of that was abandoning the mobile platform.
Okay.
And then another part of that is scaling back on the other platforms that they're supporting. And then another component in that was a few years ago when they added in the HTML5, CSS3 support to Dreamweaver as a plugin. Because before that, you couldn't create that kind of content in Dreamweaver, which is their professional web development tool, and they have since changed that. And this has been at least a couple of years, probably more. They've changed that so that those tools are just a standard part of the development platform, and they have also talked on more than one occasion about repurposing Flash, or refocusing Flash, so that instead of being a web design tool or the interface that you're using on websites, it becomes a very specialized media playback tool for people that have very specific needs for their DRM. And then also being a tool to run like standalone kiosks. And when they said the standalone kiosk thing, I sat back and I thought, oh my God, this is actually like the perfect platform for Flash, because you can build this very rich, very self-contained system that is now modular and then runs a very focused runs a very focused task. So I don't see Adobe killing Flash in the sense that most people are thinking, where the product just dies. Mm-hmm. I think that killing Flash will really be taking Flash out of the limelight and focusing it on something that it actually can do well and can do in an environment where it's less likely to be a security threat.
Well, the reason I ask is because that's all great stuff. But what concerns me is that there may come a time when it's lingering in people's Macs because they don't know about the problem. I saw an article a while back. I think it said something like 50% of the Macs out there, I'm not sure, still have Flash installed. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to see is have Adobe issue a version that says Flash has been deprecated. It's going to be deleted from your computer on January 1st. And every 2 weeks, a notice comes up that says Flash is going to be disabled. And then on January 1st, 2016, the latest version of Flash deletes itself and all the support files.
It's so cute how you think that.
That's what I'd like to see.
That sounds awful to me.
That's what I'd like to see.
No, what I see happening is that Adobe just leaves it out there.
Yeah.
And eventually, it just doesn't matter that it's out there because web browsers will just block it.
Yeah, it's just going to slowly fade away.
Yeah. And people won't really notice, except when they hit a site that has never been updated to work without Flash. And those sites, the companies that run them, will either eventually fix them or it won't matter because those companies won't be doing anything.
Right.
Which is not to say that Flash would be the end of a company, but if you're a company that is so backward thinking that you're not looking beyond Flash, that may be a symptom of other issues in your company.
Yeah. And I think just right, I mean, it's going to linger on in some very specific spaces for some time. I think kiosks is a good example. I think there's some Adobe like Air stuff that runs on like TV platforms.
Oh, right. I forgot about
connected
that.
Connected TVs, yep. And home devices. So there's going to be some specific markets where I think the technology probably is appropriate and will continue to go on. I think Jeff hit the nail on the head. It's going to be very closed, controlled systems. But outside of that, the general public, it's just going to sort of fade off and you won't even notice. Because, I mean, really, again, in this day and age, most people encounter it when it comes to video. And as most websites switch over to HTML5 and those things for video, you know, people really don't notice this is running Flash or this is running HTML5. It's just, oh, it plays the video.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like people have to flip a switch to see content in HTML5 versus Flash, right, because it's just the server sending it out as HTML5. So your cute idea, John, bless your little heart, that's not going to come to be. This is just something where
I'm an idealist.
Yeah, it's like when you have an ache in your back and then you take whatever painkiller you use and later on you realize, oh, my back doesn't hurt. There was no point where you say, oh, the pain is now gone. It wasn't a binary thing. It's just eventually you realize it hasn't been there for a while.
Yeah, I know. That's the right way to do it. That's the right way to do it. But I worry that there might be some government sites like IRS or some other government sites that have tutorials that people are not going to be able to figure out why they don't play and the government doesn't have the money to convert all their stuff over. I'm just
wondering
about something like that.
All the taxes are taking from me. They should have plenty to redo all that content.
I don't have any evidence of that, but those are the kinds of things I worry about.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how much content the U.S. government is providing to people in Flash. Most of what I see from the U.S. government is PDF. Which is great because Adobe took PDF and put it in the open source community. So there's a standard that anyone can use, and it doesn't have to be from Adobe, and you don't have to use Adobe tools, and you can create universally readable PDF, which is awesome. And I think that's part of the reason why PDF and Acrobat is faring much better than Flash did. Well, there's a lot of technical reasons too, but still. So, yeah, it'll just fade away, John. And I think Amazon did their part today, or this week, to help speed that along. I'm starting to think there's not room, or much more room, in that coffin to put more nails in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, another thing that I wanted to look at today was a piece that you wrote yesterday, John. And you talked about how there is proof that the iPad Pro is happening and that it's coming this fall. So what's that proof?
Well, there are companies that scan the web, analytics companies that look for HTTP signatures. What's it called? The header of the HTTP packet has an identifier that specifies the OS and the machine type and so on. And these analytic companies scour through that data and mine it. And so APSI apparently has seen a model identifier called iPad 6,8, which hasn't been seen before. And with a resolution of 2732 by 2048.
Which is higher than the resolution on the iPad Air 2.
Right. And that appears to fit with the thinking about a 12.9-inch diagonal display. And so often before a new product is released or a new version of the operating system is released, even in beta, we'll see identifiers on the internet. If you look for them, you can see Apple engineers, you know, visiting websites and testing out a new version of an operating system or testing out new hardware. And it looks like we have seen what looks to be an iPad Pro popping up in these analytic logs. And then secondly, a analyst with a good track record, KGI Securities analyst Ming-Chao Kuo, if I pronounced his name properly, has enough information in his hand that he told his investors he expects to see the iPad Pro go into production in September or October. And that would mean we would see it shipping this fall, likely in time for the holidays. And so that kind of closes the deal in my mind and makes the idea that Apple's going to ship a 12.9-inch iPad pretty much ironclad now.
Well, okay, first off, I think you're right that there is an iPad Pro coming. And I know for a long time I was resistant to the idea because we have the MacBook. But, and the MacBook Air. But there's enough popping up now that I think that that you're right. So that said, because I'm sure some people are thinking this, is it possible the resolution that's showing up is just simply a new resolution for the iPad Air?
It could be. The problem there is that I think the 2732 by 2048 on a 12.9-inch display, if you do the math, works out to 265 pixels per inch, which is just where Apple wants to be and is in line with other iPads. If you decided that that was really crammed down onto a 9.7-inch display, you'd have, I don't know, I haven't done the math, but I'm guessing 350 pixels per inch, which would be so far beyond Retina, wouldn't be practical or useful or helpful. That's my initial guess.
Which is pretty much what I expected you to say, but I figured someone listening to the show was thinking that, and so I became their voice for them. So really what we're looking at is a resolution that's better suited for a larger display while still being Retina. Plus, we have the new device identifier that's showing up in browser stats for servers. And we have an analyst that's had good luck in the past talking about product releases backing this up as well. So you put all that together, and it sounds like we are getting a bigger iPad, and it's probably coming this fall.
And this is a good thing, too, because I think with a bigger display, you can do more things. I mentioned in the article, sometimes you walk into a doctor's office or a government office, and you see a 15-inch display, and your heart sinks. You feel sorry for the person who's, you know, using DOS on a 15-inch display or something like that. And you go, you know, this is just so crammed and so old and so non-visual. So the bigger our display is, the more we can do. And I think Apple is going to tap into that mainstream. A bigger gives you more capability. Multiple screens, split screen, slide in, more capability, more facility for reading magazines and newspapers. It's going to be a win.
All right. So we're out of time. But before I go through the usual wrap-up stuff, I'm curious, do you think Apple is going to talk about this at the rumored September 9th media event, or is that going to be primarily just an iPhone and probably Apple TV event?
I believe they're going to do three things, the iPhone 6, of course, and the Apple TV, but I also believe they'll introduce the iPad Pro or whatever they decide to call it. Some people call it an iPad Plus. And the reason they're going to do it is to lift the spirits of the customers and lift the spirits of the investors and themselves, because if it's going into production in September, you know, they can talk about it and they can say, you know, shipping October 15th or something like that, which is only a month away from the event. And I think they're going to do that in order to give the iPad line a boost and get people excited again.
All right. What do you think, Adam?
I agree with John. I think it's time for that product if it's ready to go. And from everything we've been hearing and seeing, it seems like it isn't something that's entering production. It is something that is going to be ready to go. So I'm just bummed about the iPad Air 3.
Yeah, because it sounds like we're really not getting an update.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. We are out of time. So, Adam, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure thing. It's awesome. And John, it's also awesome to have you here, so thank you.
You're very welcome. Pleasure.
And listeners, you can show a little support for TMO when you make purchases. Go to macobserver.com/Apple Store, and you'll find links there not only to buy your Apple products from Apple, but Amazon and a few other companies, too. So head over there, and when you use our links, we're going to get a little bit of money back from those companies, which then goes into making sure that podcasts like this are on the air for you. So give us a little support like that, and thank you for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.